Turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. We're going to go way back today. So, as we start the new year, I'm going to look here. The last time I tried to give you a date in here, I didn't even have the right month. So, if you'll remember. So, today is January the 11th. Okay, 2026, our second Sunday of the year. Last Sunday, we talked about trusting God, putting our trust in Him as we go into the new year. You know, we're making resolutions. We have plans for the way we want the new year to go. I've made resolutions myself. I've made 4 so far and only broken all of them. So, no, I've done pretty good. But even when I fall short on one, I'm not going to give up on it. I want it to be a part of my life. And if it's something I don't do, I'm going to jump right back on the wagon and keep going and let that be part of my life, part of my Christian walk. So, but as the new year comes, we make plans. I want to go here this year. I want to do this. I want to do that. My resolutions are this. I want to be like this in 2026. I want my goals to be this. We have all these goals and plans for 2026, for the new year. I know my life, I have 2 full-time jobs outside of this. And my life, and a lot of you know what I mean, Patrick, you'll know, it's quotas, it's timelines, it's goals, job-related. Things that has to be done this way right then, and it can swallow you up. It can be exhausting. There's so much of it. So, one thing that I said I was going to do was read devotional every day. I've never been a big devotional reader. I like Bible study more, but I said I need to do that. And I've gotten a wonderful devotional that somebody got me, and I really appreciate that. So the devotional on January the 3rd was called Divine Delays. Divine Delays. And the Lord spoke to me right then, and He said, this is the direction you need to go. And it was based on this verse, this chapter, the children of Israel not taking the straightest route when they came out of slavery in Egypt. It was God's decision based on His wisdom and what was best for them. Now, you can write this down. You don't have to turn to it, but it's a short verse. But this will be a very helpful verse. Just write down Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. And it says, many plans are in a person's heart, but the advice of the Lord will stand. So I can have all these plans that I have for 2026. And you've heard the old saying, the best plans lay to mice and men, right? And God could say, to quote Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. Okay? This is not what you're going to do. Your plans are not necessarily my plans. So what if we're in 2026 and you say, you know, I've got all these plans going and nothing works. And if it does work, it's not the timing. It took so long. We need to look to God and still look into ourselves going into 2026. Now I want to give a couple of biblical examples. So Exodus 13, go to verse 17. We're going to go verse 17 through 22. Okay? And just the wording of these scriptures, and I'm reading it out of New American Standard, but New American Standard, King James, whatever you have, are wonderful examples for us today. So verse 17. Now when Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them by the way, the land of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, the Philistines occupied the southern portion of Canaan, or what was the promised land. Now, the children of Israel, they've been in 400 years of slavery, a brutal lifestyle. They come out of that, and God could have said, you know, I'm going to protect you through all this. We're going to get you the shortest route. We're going to get you out of trouble. That seems like the rational way, right? But that wasn't the way God intended. Okay? The Philistines were known for their advanced technology and their strong military. They were a very, very fearful adversary. But they were idol worshipers, and you know all the way through the Old Testament, they were constantly in conflict with Israel. Every time you looked up, they were in conflict with Israel. You think about David and Goliath. You think about Samson's capture. You think about all that. They're constantly in battle with Israel. Okay? Now, let's go to this verse, verse 17. Notice that the people weren't going to change their minds because they were going to be defeated. I want you to look what verse 17 says at the end. God said the people might change their minds when they see war. So times are going to get tough. And God said, they're not mature enough that I can put them in that situation. I know how they are. They're going to turn, tuck tail, and run. And here it says they would go back to Egypt into slavery. And you think about this. I don't think their Egyptian taskmasters would be very, very friendly toward them when they came back. Every firstborn in that nation had died. And they were going to blame it on them. And you're going to say, hey, I want to go back to that. I want to go back and be slaves under that. Okay? Now, we would think that if you went under your whole life under slavery, that would build some toughness and character. But it didn't. Okay? It didn't. As soon as they see war, as soon as they see problems, as soon as they see adversity, they're going to go right back. Now, that's a great message for us in 2026. When times are tough, when things don't go our way, the way we want them to go, when we want them to go, do we turn back and give up and say, God, why didn't you do this to me? God, why don't you answer my prayers? They're not going any higher in the ceiling. Why are you doing this? Or do we look to God and trust God? Which one do we do? Now, they should have known all along that they were going to be safe. Like if they trusted God, they would have known this. Keep your thumb where you got it. Turn to Genesis 15. Keep your thumb where you got it, because we're going to go back and read the rest of these verses here in Exodus 13. But go to Genesis 15, verses 12 through 16. Now, why did they know? Why should they have known and trusted God? Because they had the covenants with Abraham. God told Abraham what was going to happen. He told him, look, they're going to go through 400 years of slavery. In Genesis 15, verses 12 through 16, God lays out the format of what's going to happen. Okay? If they needed a day planner, God gave it to them. 400 years of it. And it says, Genesis 15, 12 through 16. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. Remember, his name had not been changed to Abraham yet. Okay? And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Then God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. So what's going to happen? That land that's not theirs, they're going to go to Egypt, right? Where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Now, how long were they in slavery in Egypt? 400 years. Not 375, not 425. 400 years when they got out. And they should have known that. God said 400 years of slavery. It was 400 years of slavery. They should know then that God's got a pretty good idea of what he was talking about and what he was telling Abraham was going to happen. But, verse 14, I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, Egypt. And afterward, they will come out with many possessions. Not only did they leave Egypt, they fleeced Egypt when they left. The Egyptians said, just get out of here, leave us alone. Here, take this gold, take everything we got. Here's some gold, here, whatever, take it, go, just leave us alone. We'll bribe you to go. The gold calf and all that that they built, where did they get the gold from? They didn't get up under a rock out in the wilderness. It was given to them in Egypt, right? As for you, verse 15, you will go to your father in peace. This is what he's telling Abraham. You will be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the wrongdoing of the Amorite is not yet complete. So the rest of this prophecy was, they're going to go, Abraham. They're coming back to this land. Just like I said, they would leave 400 years of slavery. They would leave with possessions. They will come back to this land. So if they would have trusted God in Genesis 15, they would have known what was going to happen. They didn't have anything to worry about. They should have known, but they didn't trust God. Okay? Now, go back to Exodus 13. We're going to look at verse 18. Verse 18. So let's look at what happened. You know, I got to reading this, and I guess there was something I missed. We think, you know, that they leave Egypt, and man, when they leave, Pharaoh's mind changes the second they cross the state line. And here he goes chasing them, right behind them, and they go into the Red Sea, and there it is. But there was more to it than that. So therefore, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. So there, he led them to the Red Sea, but there was this, they couldn't go through the land where the Philistines were at, right? So they detoured, basically. Okay? And the sons of Israel went up in battle formation from the land of Egypt. Now, not only did they have this, they could have crossed the shallow part of the Red Sea. But God wanted to show that their escape was because of his power. A couple things. Number one, if they crossed the shallow part, the Egyptians could cross the shallow part. Secondly, they need to understand it wasn't through anything that they did, but it was what God did. God held the deep part of the Red Sea back while 3 million people and livestock and old men and old women and babies crossed on dry land. That was God. That was something that human, the mind and capacity, no matter how smart they get, can't do. They needed to know it was from God. Okay? I think about grace when I see this. It was God's grace. It was God that held them back. It that held the water back. It was God who caused this, not him. Just like me, I can't save myself. There's nothing I can do. They could not save themselves. If it would have been up to them, there would have been a mass slaughter, a genocide on the banks of the Red Sea. But God did it, just like grace in my life. God does it despite me. Okay? Now, Exodus, just write this down. God would use this later on. Exodus 19:4. You don't have to turn. You can just write that down. Another short verse, and I'll read it here. He says, God tells them later on, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So he told them every time, what are we going to do? We're going to starve to death out here. Our animals, our livestock, they're going to starve to death. You brought us out here to die. We'd be better off in Egypt. He said, you saw what I did at the Red Sea. And you want to turn back. Because it said, now they said, we'd have been better off in Egypt. And God knew. It said, they would have turned and gone back. That's the way the scripture starts out. We need to trust God. We've seen what he's done in our lives day after day after day, and how many situations that he's gotten us out of, and how he's had our back, and everything that he's done for us. He's done so much, we could just sit here and write a book, probably each one of us. Why would we turn back and not believe? But we do, because we're human. We need to believe. We do. I know Cleo and I talk about it all the time. Before we got saved, John Wesley called it prevenient grace. How he took care of you before you were ever saved. to get you to the point. I mean, how many times that something could have happened over years and years and years that I could have died? But God had a plan for me. He had a plan for each one of you to get you where you're at today. Why would he get you where you're at today and just throw his hands up and say, I'm done? Okay? Just his mercy and grace is just, it's inexplainable. So verse 19. Here's more proof that they should believe. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will certainly take care of you. And you shall carry my bones from here with you. So Joseph told them too, you're going to leave Egypt. Because why? Joseph trusted God. He knew 400 years and they were leaving. And he said, now, I'm going to be dead and gone, but my bones ain't staying here. You take them with you. And Moses knew that. And they took the bones. So what did Joseph say? God will certainly take care of you. He knew. He trusted. And it was evident in Joseph's life. Joseph could tell you what kind of situations he was in. From prison to a pit out in the desert. I mean, my goodness. God saved his life over and over and over and over and over. And he knew God would take care of him. Then he set out from Succoth and camped in Ephraim on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Now look what verse 22 says. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the presence of his people. Out there, 120 degrees, out in the middle of the desert where nothing could live, no problem. I'll just put a cloud. I'll cover you. I'll let you walk in the shade, Ken. Oh, we can't see where we're going at night. I'll flame the fire at night. I'll give you a flashlight. You'll see where you're going. I'll give you manna to eat. I'll spite the rock and I'll let water come out to feed you and your livestock. Every possible need that you have, God will provide. Needs. Now, it didn't say God will provide my wants and give me everything that I want. Everything I want is not good for me. But God will provide my needs. He did it here. It's a living testimony to that. So, they should have trusted God. They had reason to trust God. They had past history to trust God. They had the scriptures to tell them to trust God, but it said as soon as the things got tough, they would have gone back. So let's look at somebody that was doing everything that God told him to do and was living it out the way he was supposed to live it, but God said, your plans are not my plans. Turn to Acts 16. Turn to Acts 16. Let's talk about Paul. I can't get enough of Paul. I guess you noticed that. I hope when I'm in heaven, I get to meet that rascal. I got a lot of questions for him, Ken. So Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. When you read, now let me throw this in. What we just read in Exodus was historical. It affected that area of the world for centuries. And it affects the whole world today. I mean, we obviously know how what we feel about Israel and the Jewish people and their relationship with God. If they'd been slaughtered there, we wouldn't have any of that. You turn on the news every day, you see Israel. And you see the importance of that tiny, tiny country. It's not by accident. So that was historical. These verses here, they're easy to skip over. And you look at them, you go, oh, that's going to something else. You're going to see this is historical. It was God's will. And if Paul would have had his way, it might have changed the whole construct of history. Okay? So Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. So they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region after being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So here we go. We can't go in there because it's too hostile. You know, there's just no way. No. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So that's the first time Paul's plans, God said no. Okay? Now, look at verse 7. And they came to Mysia. They were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. There's number two. God said no. Okay, I want to go into Asia. Nope. Okay, and look, he's doing God's will. He's not going on vacation. Okay, he's going to spread the word, his missionary journey. He's going to try to bring Christianity to people who had no idea about Jesus at that time, and he guts his nose. Okay, then verse 7. Well, then plan B, I'll go here. God says no. Okay, he's doing God's work. All right. So, in passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now, here we go. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia was standing and pleading with him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, we immediately sought to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Macedonia was not his first choice. In fact, Macedonia was not a choice for him. It was God's choice. Now, a couple things to take in here. So, Paul's plans didn't go the way he wanted. Did he gripe? Did he fuss? Did he say, I give up? I just can't get in where I want to go. I'm quitting. I'm done. No. He trusted God. Okay, plan A didn't work, plan B didn't work, and God came to him, and you know what he could have said? What if Paul would have said, no, I'm not going to do it. God, I want to go here, I've had my mind on that, by gum, that's where I'm going. Okay, I'm going there, and there's nothing you can do, but that's what I'm going to do, because it's what I want, and that's what my heart's set on. And by the way, anyway, God, I'm doing your work. Why would you discourage me? I'm not sinning. I'm doing your work. I'm going to quote some really good heavyweights here. Okay? I'm going to go from everywhere to Reformed to Mid-Acts dispensationalist. John MacArthur, great John MacArthur, who I think is a wonderful voice for this generation. He recently died. Now I want you to listen to what he says. He says the Holy Spirit forbade twice, meaning divine, get this, divine guidance means prohibition as well as permission. Now, what's prohibition? We all know the word prohibition. You couldn't drink back a century ago, right? It was outlawed. You couldn't do it. And we know what permission means. Yes, you can do it. John MacArthur says divine guidance means prohibition as well as permission. God's guidance means him telling you no as well as him telling you yes. Okay? We all think about God's guidance is he's going to bless me and whatever I do. I can do all things with Christ which strengthen me. So whatever I decide I'm going to do, God will bless me. Nope. We forget about God's sovereignty. God knows best. God will keep you out of situations because he knows what's best. Some of the best things that will ever happen to you is God telling you no. Okay? I think we can all attest to that. Okay? David Jeremiah, Charlie Hastings' close personal friend, says that God was building Paul's dependence on the Holy Spirit. Okay? Paul's plan was to go to Asia. Paul's plan was to go into Mysia and Bithynia. Okay? So when God told him no, and I've been here, putting this stuff together that we do on Sunday, trying to get a message together for you. And I've been there, and I'm like, Lord, this didn't work, this didn't work, this didn't work, and here I am on Thursday, and man, it's Sunday, and I don't have a clue. I guess I'll get up and just do shadow puppets on the wall or something. I don't know. What am I going to do? And at that point, you're just saying, all right, Lord, I trust you. You always have. Give it to me. Okay? I think we've all been there in our lives. Now, Les felt it, because you know I love. I want to read what he said, so bear with me here. Now remember, he's talking about this scripture, Acts 16:6-10. I want you to look at how important this is. Now we still look at it and we'll say, well, okay, he listened, no big deal. Les Feldick says this. Now what happened? God had long before ordained that this gospel of grace should not go east of the Orient, but to the west in Europe. Noah's three sons, okay, went different directions. Okay, God had ordained it. And I've told my classes for 25 years now that in your prayer time, you should thank God that he sent Paul over to Europe rather than to Asia. We all thank God for that. Why? Because when the gospel went to Europe, it went to our forefathers. And it was the gospel that set everything moving in Europe. All the reformations and the industrial revolution. You got to remember, they were in the dark ages, basically, when Martin Luther came along. Right? All the reformations and the industrial revolutions, all the technology that came out of Europe and later America. Here's where it all began. Christianity is what set everything free. Christianity is what gave mankind the freedom to pursue his own ideas. Christianity is what set the female gender free. That was the beginning of true feminism, when Christianity put women on the same level as God's eyes as man. What's that mean? The body of Christ. We're all equal. I'm no better than anybody else. It doesn't matter about color. It doesn't matter man or woman. We are equal in God and the body of Christ. We are equal to each other. And so over and over, thank the Lord for the vision that said, go to Macedonia. So, because of God's sovereignty, the gospel went out to the Western world. Without his decision, you and I might be following some other religion. I want you to think about this. What if he went to Asia? We might be worshiping cows or statues of Buddha. That might be over here. And Christianity's over there. And we don't have the blessings in this country that we have now. We don't even have this country. Think about where you would be. It, not even just in your salvation, but just where you would be as a human being, where you might be on this earth if it hadn't have been for Paul going west and Christianity coming to this part of the world. Okay? Some of our ancestors came here for religious freedom. Some came to escape persecution. Others came for a better life. God knew when he directed Paul to go to Europe that we'd be sitting here in the Bible Center 2,000 years later. You may not believe that, I do. He knew. God knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He knew when he directed Paul that way. Listen, we believe this. A big reason we believe, we've been brought up in it. We understand. We believe in the Christian way of life. We believe in Jesus Christ. It was passed along. Okay? Now, he knew that. So, you know something? A slight change in our daily plans, when you think about what got changed to the children of Israel, when you think about what got changed in Paul and how it's affected the world, all of humankind for centuries. I don't think a slight change in my daily plans, when God does that, is such a big deal that I'd get down on the floor and roll around and say, woe is me. Not a big deal. In a big scheme of things, it's not a big idea, not a big problem. We need to trust God. Also, in 1 Corinthians 16, you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 16, just write this down if you want to look at, read it. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians at the end of chapter 1 and at the beginning of chapter 2. you will see that Paul had to stay a shorter time in Corinth than he had hoped for. He wanted to spend time there. The Lord was moving. He wanted to stay, but he didn't get to. It wasn't his choice. It was God's choice. God's choice is timing. Okay? Sometimes we look at timing. Not only do we want it now. And that's not what God has in mind. That's not God's plan. You're going to have plenty of that in 2026. I want it now, God, and God has other plans. Do we go back to Egypt? You give up. Okay? You may be something that you don't even have on your radar, and you've worked on this, and it's your plan, and it's something you've had your heart set on. Do you say, why me, God, or do you trust? Now, also, in Romans 1, verse 13, Paul said he wanted to come to Rome many times, but was prevented. Well, does that mean he didn't go to Rome? No, he ended up going to Rome. Okay? He wanted to go there many times, but he was prevented. That was God's sovereign timing. God will do the right thing for you at the right time if you put your trust in Him. Now, I told you how things come together. Turn to Romans 8, 28. The verse about how things come together. Now, many of you know, Missy will tell you, I stress. I do. Don't think for a second, boy, David's up there. He don't worry about a thing. Yeah, right. David's a warrior. Okay? So, like I said, when I get up here, I'm just having a conversation with myself. And I'm letting you listen in on it. I've told you many times. I'll be in the bathroom and Missy will go, are you talking to yourself? I'm going, I'm practicing for Sunday. So Romans 8, 28. So, very important scripture here. But we can take it out of context a little, okay? Romans 8, 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We love that verse, right? So, I'm going to tell you how God works. I'm going to tell you how He worked this purpose. So, Sunday, I start, all right, next Sunday. What am I going to do next Sunday? What am I going to do next Sunday? So, I laid down Sunday night and I started going through. I already knew, okay, because I told you that the devotional on January the 3rd. But starting to put, tie things in and all that, you're like, all right, where am I, where are all the places I'm going to go? So, this scripture, obviously, is one that comes to mind. When you think about God's plan and God's timing, we all know that all good things work together, so that was a verse. Now, I laid down after I watched the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Okay? Last regular season football game of the year, NFL, and I love it this time of year. I watched the games today. Okay? Watched the games last night. I watch the college playoff. I love to watch them at this time of year. There's so much on the line. Just give you an example. So, when Ole Miss played in the college football playoffs, they said that weekend, $70 million went into the Oxford, Mississippi economy. Oxford's not a big town. $70 million. So, you've got these towns and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars are brought into these cities because they can host playoff games. And all the television rights and all that. And the players, make they get paid for winning. So if you win, you're going to make a lot of money. Bonuses, right? Coaches are going to make bonuses. Fans who work in those cities are going to host games. All these people coming in, they're going to make money. And besides, you worked and practiced and all this with the team, and you've got so much pressure on you because you have poured your everything you've got, every last ounce of blood and sweat, into this to win the Super Bowl, right? So I watched this, and there's this poor guy, the kicker for Baltimore. His name is Tyler Loop. Tyler Loop, a name that will live to a lot of people in infamy. He's been the butt of jokes throughout the country. He's got to make a 40-yard field goal on the last play of the game for Baltimore. If he makes the field goal, Baltimore goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home. Winner goes to the playoffs. Pittsburgh's ahead. So he's a kicker for Baltimore. 40-yard field goal. These guys, how far they can kick the ball is unbelievable and how accurate they are. A 40-yard field goal for guys in the NFL is about like me taking my keys and pitching it right there and hitting that wall. It's that easy for them. Okay, chip shot. Poor guy. Last kick. And the announcer, Chris Collinsworth, says he was built for this moment. That's why they brought him in. He's getting ready to be the hero. Well, guess what? He kicks the ball, and it never had a chance. He kicked that thing so far right. It was so far off. I mean, as soon as he kicked the ball, I was like, oh, my goodness, that poor guy. He's missed his field goal. So I turn it off. I go to bed. I'm looking at stuff. And Romans 8:28, right? That's the verse. That's the verse I go to bed with. So I get up the next morning. I go to school. I'm scrolling social media a little bit. The first thing I found, I see Tyler Loop, a video. They've done an interview with him after the game. And he's distraught. And he's in the locker room. You can tell he's teared up. And he said this. This was his quote. Faith is the big part of my life. Right now, I'm reading the book of Romans. And in Romans 8, it says, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's what I went to bed with. That was the last thing I read before I went to bed. And it was the first thing, and I was thinking about that poor kicker. I said, Lord, help me. And I woke up the next morning, and that was the first thing I saw. The same verse. And you tell me God doesn't work? And it said, and I love this. He said, it's a verse that just reminds me that God has got my back even when life stinks. And it wasn't a deal where he said, I'm going to do all these. He goes to me, I'm going to do everything. Everything's going to work out great. He said, no, life's going to stink, but everything is going to work out because God has my back. God's concerned about me. I'm a believer. God will take care of me. That needs to be our attitude in 2026. When things get tough, we don't turn around and go back to Egypt. God takes care of us. I saw this later that day. Might have been the next day. Derrick Henry is the running back for the Ravens. One of the best running backs that's ever lived. Star. He's in the Allstate commercials. King Henry. Used to be running back for the Titans before they traded him to Baltimore. Just one of the great players. But he's a Christian. He's a believer. So they interviewed Derrick Henry after the game in the same locker room. And Derrick Henry said, I feel for Tyler. I just told him to keep his spirits up, deal with it tonight, and then tomorrow the sun rises again. That's a wonderful attitude. No matter what happens, the sun will rise again tomorrow. If it don't rise, we'll be in heaven, right? Winner either way, as the layman used to say. I told him the story after this is going to be great because God put him in the position to use him as an example. Have you ever thought when something happens in your life that you say, why me? He may be using you for an example here. Because I know how many times that I've looked here and I've seen people's faith. And I've been drawn to that. And I've told you, even when I was lost, I went to Linnell Parker's funeral, a friend of when I lived in East Tennessee. And her husband at the grave, after she had died of cancer, stood up and recited the 23rd Psalm. And after the funeral, I told him, I said, Wayne, I was impressed by that. And she said, you know what? It was bad the last few weeks, months. It was bad. He said, but what she went through compared to what Jesus Christ went through was nothing. And that's always stuck on me. Always stuck on me. If I hadn't have gone to that funeral and saw Wayne in that position, that's something that may have never happened. I may have never experienced. And I think was one of the things that really helped me come to the Lord. You're in a situation for a reason, okay? And he said, I can't wait to see him overcome it on the other side. I just told him, trust God's plan. He would have not put him in this position if he wasn't strong enough to handle it. Why is he strong enough to handle it? He's reading Romans. He's got faith. He knows God's got his back. That's why he's strong enough to handle it. Okay? This year, are things going to go your way all the time? Nope. Is the timing going to be right? Nope. It's not. Okay? There's going to be times, why me? Why does God not answer my prayers? Why does anything ever work? But instead of Missy saying, David, don't get spazzy on me. I need to trust God. And David's sis needs to trust God, and David's sis needs to listen. And that's where David's sis needs to place his faith and not his word. Speaking for me. It's what we all need to do. So God's divine plan, as David Jeremiah called it, divine delays. You're going to have them in your life in 2026 over and over and over and over. Don't turn around and go back to Egypt. Don't throw your hands up and say, it's getting ready to get tough. There's going to be a war here. There's going to be a battle here. There's going to be a fight here. I'm getting ready to go through tough times. I give up. Trust God. Trust God, his plan, and his timing. Martha Jo. That's where we need to look this year.